Okay, ladies and gentlemen, you have heard it. The Legend of Hannah Brady by the Shane Givens Band.
Uh-huh.
That means one thing.
What?
It's time for True Crime on Easy Street.
I see what you did.
Yeah. Welcome back, everybody. this voice that I have is not because I have some sort of sinus phlegm something going on.
Phlegm?
Phlegm?
Something.
What is it?
I don't know.
Phlegm. I don't know. Whatever. It's because I work in a bar that shall not be named on the weekends.
Ah, yes.
And you would think I was out partying last night, but I wasn't. My voice sounds like this because I am now old and have acid reflux at night.
Yeah, I've got a jar of Tums right beside my bed.
So here we are.
At least one every night.
I got a few shout outs. Can I go ahead and get to that? Well, first of all, I'm Kelly Turner. I'm not a doctor.
Scott Wright, mediocre journalist.
Katie Givens, not a lawyer. Here are the shout outs.
Okay, what you got?
Colon. Here we go.
All right.
The Sullivans. Bob.
Bob.
Yeah.
Bab.
Super nice couple. They come to the bar that shall not be named and had a grand time. Also, you shouted him out before, Chauncey.
Yeah, Chauncey is the guy who gave me the
card with the Menendez brothers.
Yeah, the Mark Jackson, whatever his name is, the NBA game that the Menendez brothers attended after they killed their parents.
All right, thank you for that, Chauncey. That's amazing. And I have one last shout out. A listener who has been listening for a long time for us, Greg Dubin. So thanks, Greg.
Doobie was there yesterday.
Thanks, Greg, for listening. Appreciate that.
I didn't see him this weekend. Maybe today.
Mm. Or so, you saw him and you don't remember.
Or I saw him and I don't remember.
Yesterday, you saw him.
I did?
Yeah.
Are you sure?
Yeah.
All right.
Yes.
Everybody had a good time, like you said.
Yeah, had a great time. But thank you to all of those folks, the Sullivans, Chauncey, and Greg Dubin.
Nice to know we're not just talking to ourselves in here.
You know, we never know. From week to week, who knows?
Yes.
Hit or miss. We just put it out in the universe and hope somebody listens.
Hit or miss. All right, so this week for the water cooler segment, the Aon water cooler.
All right.
All right. The cool, clear water.
Mm-hmm.
Katie is sipping on some right now.
Yeah.
When I finish my soda, I'm going to the water cooler to get some cool, clear water myself. But Katie has a topic for the water cooler that we're going to get to very quickly. And it is relevant to our previous episodes. It is.
I haven't heard it yet. So
very much so. Go ahead, Katie.
Going back to Chauncey and Bob and sitting at the bar that shall not be named.
Yes.
Mm. We were talking about the basketball card that Chauncey had given Scott, and that turned into the Menendez brothers. And then people, you know, started debating, should they be let out? Should they not? So this was we told y'all to comment, let us know what y'all thought. Well, this was IRL comments, people coming up, oh, I haven't listened to the episode yet, or, you know, what do y'all think? What do you think? Mm-hmm. Blah, blah, blah. And Shane just was adamant. He is against them getting out, thinks that, you know, there is in no world where they should have, you know, come and, you know,
yes,
18 shots in their parents. And
he is not for the vigilante justice style of things. Gotcha.
And I think he was really hung up on the fact that they had to reload the guns.
Yeah.
Yeah.
That's a big deal. It's a big deal.
So. But we sat and fought about that for a long time as Kelly was bartending and paying us no attention, thankfully.
I just would hear a word or phrase every now and then.
Right.
And I could hear it getting heated. And I thought to myself, someone should, you know, probably try to be a peacemaker with that. But it's not me. I'm busy.
I don't know when this episode is going to come out, but it should, if it's sometime in the next couple of weeks.
No.
That's going to be getting close to the middle of June.
Oh, yeah, it'll probably be
middle of June, late June.
And June the 13th.
We're far ahead, yeah.
June the 13th.
Friday the 13th.
Right. And that's when the hearing is set to take place.
Yep.
That will determine the Menendez.
The
Menendez brothers' future.
Is that the rescheduled hearing?
Yeah.
Yes.
I mean, at the end of the day, I feel like they've served their time. They've done a lot of time in prison. And we're good.
Over 35 years.
I think we're good.
That's
with that.
What
I understand that
the
though
was.
They did have to reload the gun.
Yeah.
You know, sometimes if you're in the heat of the moment, maybe that doesn't seem like such a big deal. Yeah. I don't know. I've never been in that spot, in that position. I understand Shane's position. Shane is a lawyer.
Mm-hmm.
He's not a good one. But he is a lawyer.
I didn't say that. That was Scott Wright that said that.
Part of my argument was, I mean, you're a defense attorney. He's like, and if I was their defense attorney, I'd be arguing the same thing for them to get out. Sure, but I'm not their attorney.
But I would, in my head, not agree, right? I don't know. You got to give them the best defense. I think their defense attorney has done a great job. Their attorneys have had several. So we'll see. We'll see how that plays out on Friday the 13th. I will be that night on Friday the 13th at the Edgar Allan Poe speakeasy that pops up from town to town.
Where is it?
With a good friend of the show, Stephanie West.
Uh-huh.
We in Gadsden.
Gadsden, okay. Mm-hmm. That's about 20 minutes from here, if you're not familiar with Northeast Alabama, Cherokee County. Gadsden is the closest place to go to a movie theater.
Yeah.
And when I was a kid, you guys too, probably, that's where you went on dates on the weekend.
Mm-hmm.
A nice sit-down restaurant.
Yep. Now we have a drive-in, here.
We have a drive-in here in Cherokee County in Leesburg, and we have a bunch of nice sit-down restaurants now, including Easy Street right across the parking lot.
Yep.
But back then, you really didn't.
Nope.
Yeah.
You had McDonald's.
Mm-hmm. Yeah.
And a couple of steakhouses that were just open on the weekends.
Yep. That's pretty much
it. So you took your date to the Pizza Hut in Gadsden.
Yep.
The old style sit-down red roof
Pizza Hut. Loved it.
That building is still there.
With the checkered...
The checkered tablecloth. It's been a bunch of things.
Where is it?
It's now the Don Big Toes.
Is it?
Bigotes.
Don Bigotes.
Always like, it's across, switch the letters Don Big Toes.
It's across the street from Applebee's.
I know where
the skating rink. It's right down in that area.
Yep.
Yeah,
none of these people are sponsors, but they could be. Just saying.
We got to remember to not do that.
Yeah, so also, let me just go back to the Edgar Allan Poe speakeasy really quickly. If you want to have a good time with Stephanie and I and nerd out at the Edgar Allan Poe speakeasy, there'll be four drinks, four different readings from Poe.
Oh, okay.
And, you know, go online and check it out. Get some tickets.
Sounds fun.
Yeah. I feel like she said something about that.
Yeah.
What's the venue? Is it the old NOLA?
It's the venue.
The venue in Gadsden.
Where is that?
Over Cross there by the bridge. Buffalo Wild Wings. Yeah. That new
On the other side of the river.
Yeah,
okay.
There.
All right.
And the discussion was, what are we going to wear? And I said, well, I'm wearing all black.
Yeah.
As you must. I think you might need to wear a cape.
I'm wearing black, the same color as my heart.
You can borrow Shane's cape. I'm sure he has one.
He probably has one. Okay, so that's it. Aeon Water Cooler. Thank you so much to Aeon for sponsoring the show.
Oh, was that the segment?
Delicious water.
Mm, well, we were all over the place.
All right. Well, it's the water cooler.
Yeah, true.
You know. All right.
We were catching up.
Mm-hmm.
Yeah, right. Okay.
Katie's in the big chair today with a local case. Some of you will be very excited about our local case. I know. Shout out to Casey Lemons again.
What does she do?
She loves the local cases, so that's good.
Yeah.
She's not the only one, but she's told me specifically.
Yeah, she's already told me she's going to hate. She's already hating in advance the one that I'm going to do next.
Oh, because it's too old.
It's too far in the past. It takes place in the early 1980s.
Early 1980s?
Yeah. And then the next one's 1897.
Oh, good Lord.
So she's really pissed about that.
Did that year even exist anymore? Okay. Well, hey, you know what? I'm going to keep an open mind.
All right. Thank you.
All right.
Because she does not.
See, I like the old cases, but that is not what we are doing today. We are in the last 10 years.
Okay, so here we go. Okay. We're local and we're in the last 10 years. Take it away.
One more thing.
What, Scott?
Will you please move that glass just a little bit further away from the board? Lord. It's making me nervous. I have a thing
Let
about...
Let me take a drink.
Okay. I have a thing about... I always purposely put my drink cup at work.
There you go. Slide it to the edge of that desk
where I'll definitely knock it off.
Just get it closer to the edge there, Katie, so Scott can really have a heart attack during the show.
Yeah, just barely hanging over the corner. Mm-hmm. All right, I'm done. I'm sorry.
Okay. Take it away, Katie Gibbons.
All right. So on August 20th, 2016, in the early morning hours, Derek Dearman is going to commit one of the most heinous crimes in Alabama history, because that's how I found this case. I looked up what are some of the worst murders committed in Alabama.
Oh my gosh.
All right.
He entered a residence in the 1700 block of Jim Platt Road about 4 a.m. in the rural area west of Citronelle, Alabama, which is about 30 minutes north of Mobile.
Okay.
Oh, okay.
So we're way south.
Or 30 miles north of Mobile. Yeah,
got it.
We're south, yeah.
Mm-hmm.
Citronelle, I'm guessing, is how you say it.
I think that's
like
right.
Citronelle candles.
I think I went to college with somebody from there.
I'm sure that's how you say it.
That day, he had been hearing voices, believed that people were after him, had used a large amount of meth,
oh, oof,
and had not slept not slept for about 6 days.
That is a deadly combination.
I think literally.
I mean, I'm surprised he wasn't dead, not sleeping that long.
Yeah. I don't know how that the body works like that.
Good grief. Oh, okay.
Inside the residence were five people. Shannon Randall, Joseph Turner, Robert Brown, Justin Reed, and Chelsea Reed, who was 5 months pregnant. Armed with an axe and firearms that he found in the home, found the axe on the in the front yard, found the gun inside the home, Dearman is going to murder all five in their sleep.
So, okay, so you said early morning hours. Mm-hmm. That explains how he was able to get these weapons.
Yeah.
They're all just bust in and everybody's awake. Right. Okay.
It's about 4 a.m.
So I don't know how you're on that much meth and that little sleep and you're quiet enough to sneak in a residence.
Heavy sleepers.
Well, they didn't. It says murder them in their sleep. They are going to wake up.
Well, sure. There's a gun involved. Yeah. There's five people and an axe.
Yeah.
So Dearman is in a relationship with a woman named Lynetta Lester. They were involved in a long time, volatile, abusive relationship. And so she had left him to go stay with her brother, which is the home that we're talking about. Her brother was Joseph Turner. So she's going to go stay with Joseph and his wife in Citronelle. Derek was told that he was not allowed to stay at this home. He had come to visit her, come to check on her. And Lynetta's brother's wife is like, he's acting up. Like, we've got a kid here. Mm-hmm. They had an infant there. I don't like it. He needs to go. He can't stay the night.
Sure.
Here.
He doesn't need to be around.
Yeah, he's methed up.
He's methed up.
And he's abusive and toxic and just get out.
Yeah.
You can't hide being on meth, and you definitely can't hide it if you've been up for 6 days.
Whew. Yeah.
6 days.
So he leaves, and then, like I said, he's going to come back in those early morning hours. He's going to break in the house through two locked sliding glass doors.
Okay.
He's going to pop those glass doors. Said he found an axe in the front yard. He's going to first strike Robert Brown, who was asleep in a recliner, multiple times in the head. Mm. Lynetta is asleep on an air mattress in the living room, and he's going to leave her. He's then going to proceed to the bedroom that's occupied by Turner's, his house, and then and his wife and their three-month-old infant.
Oh, my gosh.
He's going to strike Turner multiple times in the head. Then he's going to turn and get his wife in the head as well when she wakes up. Then he's going to go into the other bedroom occupied by the other couple. Mm-hmm. He's going to confront the first one and he's going to strike them multiple times before turning to the other. So he's killing them all with the axe first. Then he rustles the last one, Justin Reed. He's going to get a gun from him. So he's killed everyone with the axe, and he's going to go back and shoot everyone.
And then he's just on like superhuman strength because he's methed up.
Yeah, he's literally with an axe slicing everyone up with this axe.
Oh my gosh.
Now he's the last person had a gun. He's wrestled the gun from him.
Gets the gun away from him because he's... Ugh. Oh my gosh. What about the three-month-old, Katie?
So he leaves the three-month-old. And he's going to come back, and everyone's not exactly there. It's stated that they were all clinging to life.
Well, sure.
And he's going to, one by one, take the gun and shoot them all.
Oh, my gosh.
He's then going to return to the living room where he's left Lynetta. Mm-hmm. He steals the keys to Randall's vehicle, and he is going to flee the scene with Lynetta and the infant. So he's going to abduct his girlfriend and the baby. And it's not their baby. It is her brother's baby who owned the house.
But you can't just leave the baby laying there, I guess. Well, I mean, at least
clearly he has
presence of mind.
Good grief. So there goes the insanity defense is gone.
Mm-hmm. Yeah, well, I guess so.
He's right?
I don't know. I can't wait to find out.
I don't know. I'll shut up.
I'm with you.
Okay.
But, yeah.
He flees to his dad's house in Mississippi, which is about 30 miles away across the Alabama-Mississippi line.
Okay.
And then the next day, Lynetta is going to be found alive, but she is going to be badly beaten at this point. But she's going to be allowed to return with the infant back to Citronelle. So he lets her go.
Okay.
She's going to immediately notify the police of the killings. And investigators are going to describe this as the worst mass killing in Mobile County's history.
Oh, yeah. It would have to be in a lot of counties. If this happened in
several, I've never heard this case.
I never have either. New to me. Wow.
And it's not that long ago.
Yeah. You said 2016.
August of 2016.
Mm-hmm. Wow. Mm.
So, of course, Dearman is the suspect. I mean, she's gone and told that he did it. And he's going to be arrested because he's going to turn himself in at the Greene County Police Station in Mississippi.
Okay.
He's immediately extradited to Mobile, where he was charged with 6 counts of capital murder. Because remember, one of the women in the house was pregnant. Mm-hmm. So under Alabama law,
that's 2. Yep.
That's 2. So mm-hmm. 6 counts of capital murder and 2 counts of abduction.
Okay. And 6 counts of capital murder. Yeesh. That's woof in a southern state. I mean, in any state, mm-hmm. that would be heavy, but in a southern state.
Yeah. Yeah.
So.
Death penalty.
Yeah. No. I mean, that's exactly what I'm thinking. Yeah. Mm-hmm. So.
Dearman expressed remorse, and he's going to attribute his actions to drug-induced delusions.
Yeah, I would say so.
While giving statement to police, he cried and repeatedly expressed horror and remorse for what he had done. Mm-hmm. There's a news video where he's escorted to an administration building as mm-hmm. he's being like detained. He reportedly said, "Don't do drugs." He's then going to apologize and say, "You know, he's like, I turned myself in as soon as I realized what I'd done." Mm-hmm. He's going to kind of.
He did. I mean,
he did. I mean, Derek, just leave your mouth shut because we're just not going to take any lessons from you. Mm-hmm. Just walk on.
You don't get to be a DARE representative now.
Yeah, no. Nancy Reagan is not on board with you.
He later apologized to Lynetta by name and described the victims as friends of his. The following day, he said that he confirms he was on meth at the times of the killings, and he blames all of it on the meth, saying it was like someone else had the steering wheel.
Well, you gave it to him because you did the meth.
I've never done meth. I don't know what effect that has on you. So
doing meth.
I have no reference.
One time, and I'm not a proponent for doing meth.
Yeah.
Don't get me wrong here, but doing meth one time or doing meth several times at various times is not going to make you brutally murder a group of people. It's all of this together, mm-hmm. this being up for 6 days, constantly doing this drug mm-hmm. over and over and over and over. And this is what happened to him. Other people, it might not.
Yeah.
But he's the one, it's like somebody else was driving, but he gave him the steering wheel because he kept doing, mm-hmm. time and time again, chose to continue doing meth.
Yeah.
He was clearly upset with his ex-wife.
He's clearly an abusive person, like, you know, to have that kind of rage and everything, mm-hmm. I think.
Yeah. But yeah. And then it was on steroids.
Probably not his 20. First run-in with the law.
No.
I would venture to guess.
I'm sure not.
He's a winner.
It's also not his first run-in with, Kelly brought up the insanity defense. So court filings are going to show that at just 4 years old, Dearman displayed symptoms of severe depression and spoke to his mother about wanting to die. Mm. He was prescribed antidepressants at 12 and began self-medicating with crack cocaine at mm-hmm. 14.
Yeah.
And the same year when he was 14, he barely survived a car accident that left him feeling that he should have died. Mm. At 16, he started using meth. And at 19, he drove his car off the road in an attempt to kill himself. And in his early 20s, he was hospitalized in a psychiatric unit. So mm-hmm. Derek's got some.
How old was he when the crimes were committed?
He was
in his 30s?
That's a great question.
I'm sorry.
No, I think he was 32, maybe?
Okay. So he's lived his entire life on the edge.
And self-medicating. Mm-hmm. Because you said he was hearing voices, and it's difficult to say, is it drug induced or is he trying to get away from the voices by using?
He's a horrific accident waiting to happen.
Oh my gosh.
Oh no, he was 36.
36.
Okay.
No, he was 30. I'm skipping ahead a little bit. He would have been 28.
28 okay. when he committed mm-hmm. these crimes. Okay.
I think I'm doing math right.
But he did spend some time in the psych ward. In the psych ward, which is, you know, it's not a cure-all by any means. Mm-hmm. It's really to get somebody stable.
Yeah.
Right.
So suicidal or hallucinating mm-hmm. actively. Once that's over with, guess what? You got to turn them loose because usually the insurance is not going to cover it. Mm-hmm. Or if they don't have insurance, they're indigent. You don't have the money to cover that.
Yeah.
Because in this country, that's some of the first funding that gets cut every
of course.
Time by every administration that's yeah. ever come through the White House.
Yeah.
So.
Oh, yeah. I mean, and in this case, I don't know what would have helped
no.
Derek, but
I don't know.
He needed some help, obviously.
He did.
Yeah. And it was, if I'm not mistaken, it was 2010 when the Alabama legislature started really taking a blade to mental health
oh,
care
God. Yeah.
in this state.
Yeah.
And it's been that way, sadly, ever mm-hmm. since. So, and this was 6 years after that happened.
Yeah. You know, and two, it doesn't sound like did he have a support system of his own in his family or?
He has parents, but, I mean, and he's got a sister. Mm-hmm. But
what
you know,
can they do with him?
I think once him and yeah, you know, getting on meth at 19 probably puts
estranged from the rest of his family.
I would think mm-hmm. so, yeah. Mm. You have to really have that perfect 360 support to have success.
And it sounds like
with someone like this, you got to have yeah. the system helping you. You got to have their family, mm-hmm. their friends, and then you got to have the person actively wanting to
yeah.
help.
None of that happened.
No,
sounds like
no. I don't know about his parents.
Missing pieces, you know. And I guess it's hard to keep giving people chances too.
No, at some point you got to protect. You got they have another child too. Mm-hmm. They got a daughter.
Yep.
So at yeah. some point.
Well, and the sister at the home, I mean, the girlfriend mm-hmm. who didn't want him there, obviously she has seen enough.
Yeah.
Hey, get him mm-hmm. out of here. He's not staying.
Mm-hmm. Mm-hmm. And then her brother says, mm-mm.
Yeah.
And then, you know. Okay, so then what happened? He turns himself in and mm-hmm. he says, don't do drugs, and he cries. So then what happens?
Now he is assigned two court-appointed defense attorneys, because if you have a capital murder case, you get two attorneys. That's how that works.
Okay. Well, I like that. That's, yeah. That makes sense. Mm-hmm.
In mid-August of 2017, Circuit Judge Rick Stout, at the request of the state, is going to order a mental health evaluation.
Sure.
To be completed by the state. It covers three things. So, his competency to stand trial, his mental capacity at the time of the crimes, and his IQ. So they do...
Mm-hmm. We talked about the IQ before.
Yeah.
And about this time, one of his attorneys is going to resign. So he's got kind of a revolving door of attorneys here.
Did they say why the attorney? Mm-hmm.
Which could be for a multitude of reasons.
Oh, yeah. It doesn't have to be Derek, right?
Yeah. Okay. And then, you know, sometimes it's just, I mean, a capital murder case is a lot of work. Sometimes
yeah,
could have, you know, conflicted out.
I'm sure the state doesn't pay well for that.
Yeah, I mean, you know, no. I mean, you got to bill those hours.
They get the discount.
He really objected to having his IQ and competency tested, and he had not made a plea related to either, so that was his argument. He's like, I haven't said that I'm incompetent. I haven't tried to enter a, you know, not guilty by reason of insanity plea, so I don't want these tests.
It makes me say we should test it even more.
Mm-hmm. Yeah.
Yeah, I mean, what difference does it make? I mean, what does he care?
But you shouldn't allow the person who the judge is deeming needs a competency test to determine whether he gets a competency test.
Good point.
Because mm-hmm. if you're competent, then you'll pass the test.
Right.
Well, the judge has ordered it, so yeah. it gets done, right?
Well, yes.
Okay.
And the judge was to receive results of the testing and review them. You know, that's how they do. But I never found any results of this testing, because they did not do a competency hearing in this case.
Okay.
So there is substantial evidence indicating that he suffered from lifelong and severe mental illness, mm-hmm. Including bipolar disorder with psychotic features, post-traumatic stress disorder, chronic depression.
What do you have post-traumatic stress disorder from?
I don't know.
Surviving the car crash?
Yeah, he did. He was in the car crash. He thought he was going to, that he thought he deserved to die in. But,
okay.
And neurocognitive disorder.
Mm-hmm.
But so I guess those are the results of the test. I mm-hmm. guess they came back and said he had all
neurocognitive disorder is a fancy way of saying things are misfiring and you're not thinking clearly.
Oh, okay.
Okay.
Yeah.
It's very basic.
Yeah, I got you.
The word cognitive means thoughts.
Mm-hmm. Okay, so just thoughts aren't...
Just not thinking clearly. Yeah, this it's very basic what I just said, but we're not neuroscientists here. So.
Not
add
at all.
That to the list.
We won't get into the weeds on that.
A team of experts, we are not.
So
we
I are. Guess this is what his testing showed, but yeah. They did not hold a competency hearing.
Okay.
They deemed him competent to stand trial without a hearing.
Okay, so they just said he's competent. Mm-hmm.
Well, I mean, I'm guessing in a capital murder trial, that's just one of the standard, that's one of the cogs in the wheel, right? That's
well, you're thinking about, right,
probably.
I would think
to
so.
To do all of those things.
Right, because you're thinking about not leaving anything open during the appeals process.
Exactly.
Yeah.
Instead, even after a psychiatrist who evaluated him warned that his probable mood disorder, suicidal thinking, and brain dysfunction are negatively affecting his thought processes and decision-making. Mm-hmm. And would make it likely that he would self-sabotage and take whatever steps he deemed necessary to ensure a death verdict, in this case.
Oh, okay. That's why. Uh-huh. He didn't want to do
he
it.
Wants
Let's
to
just
die.
Get this over with.
Yeah. Yeah. The judge allowed him to fire his lawyers, plead guilty to multiple counts of capital murder without an agreement from the state to not seek the death penalty. So he is going to fire his lawyers and represent himself,
oh,
entering his
Lord.
Guilty plea.
Now, we know how this turns out when you represent yourself.
Yeah. Yeah, we've talked about that before.
Mm-hmm. We'll talk more about how that turned out after these words from our sponsor.
Hey, Scott, how have you been feeling lately?
Fine so far.
Are you good? Do you have allergies or any kind of issues that someone from Cherokee Family Healthcare could help you with?
Not now, but they have in the past. Tell everybody what they can do for you.
All right. So Connie Geimer and crew, they are there Monday through Friday. You can check out their website at CherokeeFamilyHealth.com for all of their office hours and detailed information. But what they are committed to doing is providing the highest quality of healthcare to patients with compassion and respect. And I can attest to that, Scott. How about you? Did you have a good experience?
I had a wonderful experience. My only time I've ever been to Cherokee Family Healthcare.
And it was great?
100%.
Awesome. Well, I've been participating in the weight loss clinic there, seeing great results, and I feel great. So that's just one of the services that they offer. They can do primary care, all other kinds of things, from DOT physicals to I'm just got the sniffles. Let me just walk in and see what I can do about that. But you can check out their walk-in hours on their website. So give Connie Geimer and the gang a call at 256-266-1021. That's Cherokee Family Health. Hey, Katie, do you know what's really terrifying? The unseen dangers lurking in your water.
Exactly. We spend all this time talking about crimes, but what about the crimes happening right in your own pipes? Hard water, chlorine, and contaminants could be wreaking havoc on your home and your health.
That's why we trust Aon Water Technology, an authorized Connecticut dealer, to keep our water clean, safe, and most importantly, free of unwanted intruders.
Whether it's for your home, business, or family, Aon's filtration and softening systems give you crystal clear water, no mystery involved.
So don't wait for a real horror story to unfold in your plumbing. Call Aon Water Technology today and get the clean, crime-free water you deserve.
Visit aonwatertech.com or 256-262-3426 and schedule a free water test. Be sure to mention True Crime and receive a 5% discount on any system or service. Hey, True Crime fans, it's time to start planning your 2025 summer staycation. Why not take it right here in Cherokee County, Alabama?
We have a ton of things to do here in Cherokee County. You can wet a hook in Weiss Lake, swing away at Cherokee Pines Golf Club, take in the breathtaking views at Cherokee Rock Village, hike the National Preserve at Little River Canyon, enjoy an all-day splash at Pirates Bay Water Park, and there's so much more.
The Cherokee County Chamber of Commerce and Tourism has a full list of lodgings, RV sites, kayak rentals, and campgrounds, and they're all anxious to meet your vacation needs, whatever they may be.
So come stay with us this summer from wherever you are. Plan your Northeast Alabama summer staycation by visiting cherokee-chamber.org.
Katie and Kelly, let me tell you guys a quick story. Recently, while I was dining at Easy Street, I met a man who told me that he and his wife were planning to move to the area and retire right here in the Weiss Lake area. I told him the first person he needs to call, the best person, is Greg Oliver. Greg is the owner and broker at Go Realty. If you're like the man that I met who's thinking of moving here, or if you were looking for a home or property anywhere in Northeast Alabama or Northwest Georgia, call Greg Oliver at 256-504-3847. Greg has a full list of waterfront, residential, commercial, farm, and investment properties, and he is ready to help you find what you're looking for. Greg has 25 years of experience in the real estate market, and you can see a complete list of his current properties by visiting GoRealtyAlabama.com. So visit the website or call Go Realty today at 256-504-3847.
Thank you to all of our wonderful sponsors. Katie, do we need to do a sound check before we move on?
Let's see.
Since we're halfway through the episode.
Just thought about that.
We're good.
Yay. We sounded great, actually. Okay, so we were hanging on by a thread here. He was not allowed a competency hearing. They said he's competent.
They didn't require one yet.
Then the judge says you can fire all of your lawyers and enter into pretty much signing your life away to the state.
Yep. Okay. So, under Alabama code, if a defendant pleads guilty to a capital offense, the court still has to have a jury trial.
Okay.
So still impanel a jury to hear evidence and determine whether the defendant is legally guilty beyond a reasonable doubt.
Okay.
So you can't, even when you enter a guilty plea in a capital, like most other offenses, you enter a guilty plea that waives your right to a jury trial.
Okay.
It says it in your plea agreement when you sign it. Like, that's one of the things, that you're waiving your right to a jury trial. You're waiving your right to appeal, except there's a couple of exceptions.
Sure.
And that is not the case here.
Okay. Now, is the first thing, now he's representing himself.
Yes.
Okay. Did he ask for a change of, to get out of this county?
Oh, a change of venue?
I imagine it's a small area and you just brutally killed 6 people, one of them being an unborn child.
Yeah, but he wants to go to jail.
Yeah. Right.
He wants to go to death row.
Okay, so he's going to probably need to appeal that he had poor representation.
Mm. Yeah.
Well, so the need for a jury is required to, like I said, hear the facts and determine whether he's guilty and also decide on sentencing recommendations.
Okay. Right.
So as he's representing himself, he initially planned on presenting no evidence to convince the sentencer that he deserved to live. So he didn't plan on presenting anything that would persuade them to not give him the death penalty. But his family, he does have a family. They come in and 11 family members are going to testify that they love him dearly. They All are right. going to describe his struggles with addiction and mental illness and beg them to impose life instead of the death penalty.
Okay, so he does have some folks in his corner. They're
some
helping
support.
Him. Yeah.
Yeah. So he had 11, that was basically all his defense was 11 people.
He's just trying to get life and not.
His family's trying to get him life. He doesn't really.
Doesn't sound like he cares.
Yeah. Mm-hmm. And I think they've talked him into letting them testify because they would have had to since he's representing himself.
Let us save your life if we can.
This is just all around 360, just tragedy.
Mm-hmm, it is.
Yeah.
This is sad. So in 2018, he is going to be convicted of capital murder and sentenced to death.
Mm-hmm. Yeah, I wish I could say I didn't see that coming.
Yeah.
And his poor family is going to urge him to appeal his death sentence. And the Court of Criminal Appeals is going to deny that. The Alabama Supreme Court is going to refuse to even review it. And he is going to get picked up, too, by the EJI because of the mental illness aspect of it. Like, they don't believe anyone who is mentally ill should be on death row.
Okay.
And, he's obviously, he has mental illness, obviously. But that does, that's the argument there. Is that always a bar to the death penalty or no?
Mm-hmm.
And the EJI believe that it is. And
he's allowed to represent himself, which I kind of have a problem with that part.
Especially when you have, diagnosed mental illnesses.
Yeah.
Yeah, that seems like a hole.
Mm-hmm. Yeah.
Yeah.
Now, while his post-conviction petitions are pending from the EJI and all, he is going to send a handwritten note to the governor and the AG, and he is going to ask them to set an execution date.
Who's the governor at the time?
Kay Ivey.
Meemaw. Mm-hmm.
Kay Ivey and Steve Marshall, who he's sending his letters to.
And what did Meemaw say?
For those of you who are not from Alabama, a lot of people refer to Governor Kay Ivey mm-hmm. as Governor Meemaw.
She likes it.
I think she does.
She does.
She's an elderly lady. She's in her, what, mid-70s?
I don't know. She's okay with it, though. Meemaw's fine.
Yeah.
The trial judge is going to allow him again to fire his lawyers, which are the EJI lawyers, which are the Justice Initiative, Equal Justice Initiative.
Okay. Yeah. And wow, they got fired.
Then dismiss his post-conviction petition, and that's going to allow for Governor Ivey to schedule his execution.
And did she?
And she did.
Oh, what'd she give him?
She set it for October 17th, 2024.
Okay. All right, Meemaw.
He states, as he's waiving all his appeals, that it's not fair to the victims or their families to keep prolonging the justice that they so rightly deserve.
I mean, there is a part of me that agrees with that. It just feels yucky and icky mm-hmm. at the same time. I don't know. And I'm for the death penalty. I can't say that I'm all not or all for it. I think it's necessary sometimes.
I'm for it if it's a guaranteed lock that you committed the crime that you've been
sure.
And you know that sometime, and I think I've said this before, at some point in the history of this country, an innocent person has been executed.
Oh God, that's sickening to me. It makes me physically sick.
And that part of me says, just leave them all in jail, because if you kill one innocent person,
it's not worth it.
It's not worth it.
But then there's, you can't do that.
I know.
We don't have enough room.
Yeah.
And okay. and then, but then you have this person who did it, who says he did it.
Yeah. I mean, this
is a locked.
Cut and dried.
Yeah. But then it doesn't sit well with the mental health
true
issues that this guy is suffering from. Mm-hmm. And he's not helping adding meth to the mix. Mm. So I don't know. I wonder if this was a whole, because you said he was bipolar. Mm-hmm. I wonder if this was also this, he was in sort of a manic, would have had to have been. The mania thing up paired 6 days
with
the
meth,
and actively hallucinating. Mm-hmm. And it just doesn't sit well. I don't feel good about this one.
I don't either.
And there's a lot of detail on the internet about his execution.
Mm-hmm.
So he is going to be executed by lethal injection at Holman Correctional Facility, which is where death row is for men in Alabama.
Right. Mm-hmm.
The execution is going to start about 5:58 p.m., and it's unclear when the drugs began flowing, because at one point, he's even going to, like, raise his head and look around the chamber as if to, like, inquire about when thing started.
Yeah, right.
Mm. And this is last October.
Mm-hmm. He soon after appeared to lose consciousness. Okay. His left arm is going to move slightly the guards do a consciousness check, mm-hmm. which they yell in their ear and then they like pinch him.
Mm-hmm.
And his arm apparently is going to jerk, but they said that that's normal and did not mean that he was awake.
Sure.
So.
Well, then why do it?
No, the jerk is normal.
Like he had a jerk in his arm.
But I mean, why do that if it doesn't indicate.
No, if you yell in someone's ear, their eyes flutter.
No, I get that part.
Mm-hmm.
No, they're saying that the jerk in his arm wasn't an indication that he was conscious.
Right.
Okay.
That wasn't in, like...
There are different forms, like your eyes will flutter or you'll, you know, kind of respond to
It wasn't in response, okay. I guess, to
so
anything.
What you said lethal injection,
mm-hmm.
but when did the state of Alabama, don't we use nitrous
So I'm
going to
talk
now?
About that a little bit.
Okay.
You have a choice.
Okay.
You do. Because... Go ahead, Katie.
Oh, no, go ahead.
No. You go ahead and I'll add
Somebody
to it.
Go ahead.
Yes.
Well... So as he is strapped to the gurney, he is going to give his last words. He's going to speak to the victims and to his own family. He's going to say, "Forgive me. This is not for me. This is for you." He said to the victim's family before adding, "I've taken so much."
Mm.
He closed by telling his own family, "Y'all already know I love y'all."
Mm-hmm.
Because the day before his execution, he's going to have visitors. He had a friend named Veronica, his father. He has two sons that came to see him, his brother-in-law and his sister.
Man.
And obviously, we're dealing with a person here who is not a habitual criminal. I mean, he snapped. Mm. I mean, that doesn't mitigate what he did.
Mm-mm.
But obviously, this contrition that he, I mean, that's sincere.
I mean, he was young, you know, like, mm-hmm. so he didn't have, I guess, time to commit a ton of crimes.
But he had been violent.
Yeah.
Yeah, true. But I mean, you know, it's one thing to beat up your girlfriend, and it's another thing to kill five people with an axe.
It is, but it's that's yeah. a graduation.
Yeah, yeah. maybe
you're
so.
Increasing.
Yeah, we talked about that plenty of times.
Sure.
He took no phone calls that day. In the week before the execution, like I said, he's 36 at the time of the execution. That's why I was trying to do the math. He would have been 28 when the murders happened. Right? That's 8 years, right?
Yep.
Okay. No.
28 plus 8 is 36.
But I'm saying 2024 to 2016 is 8 years.
What? 2004?
Yes. Correct. No.
That's 12 years.
No. If you do 2024 minus 2016.
Yeah.
Yes,
you are correct.
Okay.
Right. That's what I said. Isn't it?
No.
Shit, I don't remember.
Anyway, so sorry for this rabbit hole. In the week before his execution, he was meeting, I guess when you're on death row, you get the ability to meet with a spiritual advisor, they call it.
Mm-hmm.
And so through his spiritual advisor, he gave the statement that he said, "I'm willingly giving all that I can possibly give to try and repay a small portion of my debt to society for the terrible things that I have done. From this point forward, I hope that the focus will not be on me, but rather on the healing of all the people that I have hurt."
Man. You don't get this a lot.
No, that's what I'm trying to say.
You don't get the remorse.
That's what I was trying to say.
And the,
He really, honestly, was remorseful for what he had done while he
and you
was
don't get it.
Drugged
like,
out of his mind.
Right. Like someone like John Wayne Gacy, you're like, throw the switch.
Right.
Right in the middle of his last words, just throw it, you know? And it's terrible to feel that way too, but so be it. Mm-hmm. But this guy, it's just totally different. It just feels terrible.
You want to know his last meal?
Sure.
Yeah.
It was a seafood platter from a local restaurant consisting of fried catfish, fried shrimp, bulled shrimp, fried oysters, onion rings, a deviled crab, and two sides.
That's a lot of fried food.
Yeah. If you want to be specific, it was like three of each. Three shrimp.
It's a platter.
Three bulled shrimp. Three.
I want to know what the sides were because you got to have the coleslaw.
And hush puppies.
Yeah. They didn't give me the sides.
Okay.
But they did say three onion rings.
Do we still do the last meal?
I think so.
Okay. Yeah. I didn't know that there were some places that had kind of done away with the last meal.
I don't know. You got to eat.
Some people just refuse. Do you? I mean, do you have to?
I guess not.
Since you're going to die?
Did we do, when we did the Oklahoma City bombing, did we talk about what Timothy McVeigh's last meal was?
I don't remember you saying that.
I don't either.
Well, way to go, mediocre.
Why did I bring that up?
Yeah, I thought you were going to tell us what it was. Nope. I thought you knew.
Hang on, I'll look it up. Keep talking.
Please do.
So the family of the victims are going to, they're going to speak to media and... Mm-hmm. One of the fathers, a man who lost his daughter, sister, and brother.
Oh my
in
goodness!
The killings,
oh my goodness!
Wrote that there are no words to describe the impact the murders had on him and his family. He said that Derek got to say goodbye to his family, but they did not. He said, "I so long for a final goodbye to my daughter, and I would have loved to meet my grandchild."
Oh, absolutely. Absolutely. And they didn't get a last meal. You know, you could go on and on with this. They didn't get to have some, you know, all these different. Anyways, it's a terrible rabbit hole, but he's absolutely right.
Yeah.
And it's awful.
But the father of one of the men said that this didn't bring anything back. He can't get his son back. But he also did say that he forgives him. He said, "I have to forgive him. He asked us to forgive him. You can't go to the Lord with a clenched fist. You have to have an open heart like a baby's heart."
What an amazing person. Because I'm telling you, I don't know that I could do that. Mm. That's a lot of love in that heart.
Yeah.
Timothy McVeigh's final meal was 2 pints of mint chocolate chip ice cream.
Ugh. The worst.
Probably had a stomach ache. Two pints.
It didn't matter.
But I was thinking this execution happened just last year, and I don't remember hearing anything about it. So I was looking up executions of 2024 because I know we talked about Kenneth Eugene Smith's execution, who was the first one to be executed by the gas, the nitrogen hypoxia.
Mm-hmm.
So there were 6 people executed in Alabama last year, which is the record for the state.
Mm.
And The first one was Kenneth Eugene Smith in January. And then we had James Ray Mills, who was executed by lethal injection for the 2004 murders of an elderly couple in Marion County. Then we had Keith Edmund Gavin, who was executed by lethal injection for a murder committed in Cherokee County.
How about that?
I think that was the, was that the ATM robbery?
Mm-hmm, it was. Mm-hmm. Then Alan.
Some people are going, what? Maybe Scott?
Maybe should we should do that story sometime.
Let's do that.
Yeah.
I'm sure your paper covered it.
I am a mediocre journalist.
Oh, good grief.
Alan Eugene Miller was the second person to be executed by nitrogen hypoxia. He was convicted of killing three coworkers in 1999. Mm. And then Derek Dearman was the fifth. And then Carrie Dale Grayson was the third person to be executed by nitrogen hypoxia. He was convicted for his role in the 1994 murder of a woman named Vicky DeBleu.
Was he the one who beat her with a fire poker?
I'm not sure. I didn't look his up. It sounds right, though. Mm.
You guys want to know what John Wayne Gacy had for his last meal?
Gugh.
Sure.
He had a bucket of KFC fried chicken.
Of course he did. Mm. I started to say that mess.
12 fried shrimp, a pound of strawberries, French fries, and a Diet Coke.
I hope that
he's watching his figure till the end.
Yeah, I'm sure he was. Well, I hope he went into the afterlife with heartburn.
Me and you both.
But yeah, we're 50-50 last year on lethal injection and the gas. So,
and what, as I understand it, once that started happening with the gas, folks started changing because they could get a choice. People started changing from that back to lethal injection and vice versa. Or they wanted to.
When the whole Kenneth Eugene Smith, the drama, when they were trying to act like he wasn't, or he was in pain or writhing or whatever. Yeah.
Right, right.
But
this one
This one doesn't leave you with a good feeling.
It really doesn't. And not that I leave with a good feeling about anybody being sentenced to death. It's horrible because so much life is lost before they get there. Mm. And then the poor people, the victims, the family suffer through knowing that their tax dollars are helping keep that person alive every day. And that is just a slap in the face. I can't imagine.
Yeah, but it's that thing that I talked about a minute ago. It's where, you want to be sure that this person...
You do
want
to be sure. Mm-hmm.
You know, that's why.
And this was a quick road on death row. I mean, really.
It really was.
Yeah, it is.
Crime committed in 2016, trial in 2018, death sentence in 2024.
6 years on death row is fast.
We're competing with Texas there.
Yeah,
because that one. I looked up the most executions in the state, which I knew was going to be Texas. But
sure.
Texas executed 40 people in 2000.
Mm-hmm. Wow.
So that's the record right
Don't
now.
Don't go there and commit a crime. Mm-hmm. For the love.
I'm trying to remember the name of the governor in Texas in 2000. He was the guy who ran for president and forgot one of the three branches of government in an interview, or forgot his own talking points. He had an acronym and he forgot what one of the letters stood for.
Well, dang
Rick,
it.
What was that guy's name?
That's about like they asked the lady the other day what habeas corpus meant and she couldn't tell you.
The director of Homeland Security did not know what habeas corpus meant.
That really was embarrassing to watch. Mm,
that's tough. Yeah.
Quality people.
Anyway,
running
our
government.
That is it for Derek Dearman. Sorry that wasn't...
Man, Katie, that was a difficult one. I know you had a hard time with that one this week. So thank you for that. Thank you to everybody who has listened to us.
Yeah, if you stuck around this far, good for you.
Yeah, and say something nice about us on social media or Apple iTunes. Leave us 5 stars and make a comment so that we can give you a shout out. Keep your 4 stars and below to yourself
because
we don't care. Listen to us on your favorite platform. Check us out on Believe, BLEAV.com or TrueCrimeOnEasyStreet.com. Email us at TrueCrimeOnEasyStreet@gmail.com.
We're getting there.
Social media, Facebook, Instagram.
Facebook every day. We update it all the time.
Okay, what else?
Is that it, guys? Are we done?
That's it.
Anything else? Good night, everybody.